Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of the sermon this morning is from the first lesson for today in Acts chapter 1. And when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. We believe in Jesus Christ, who for us men, people, and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Today is not the ascension of our Lord. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter. Thursday was the ascension. Thursday was 40 days after Easter. I was living in Cambridge, England for a year. There's a tradition, I think it's at St. John's College. The beautiful voices of the English choir boys, they perch on top of the church tower at St. John's College, the chapel there. And they sing ascension hymns at lunchtime, at noon. On Thursday, the ascension of our Lord. And outside the gates and in the common area, inside the gates of the college, there's a crowd of folks listening to the faint voices that sound almost like angels, or as close as we're going to find here on heaven. On Thursday, why is it that we can't meet as a church on Thursday? Why is it that we can't celebrate the great ascension of our Lord to the right hand of God on a Thursday? For the same reason why we blow off Holy Week, for the same reason why we're not here when Epiphany falls in the middle of the week, for the same reason that we continually fail at any aspect of the Christian life, even faith, because we're sinners. And yet, Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father. What does this mean? I was having a conversation with Pastor Robbie, Dr. Robbie, the Old Testament professor, when he came last fall. And he said, we just have to accept that this is where people are at. They're not going to be here on a Thursday. They're just not. And if we're ever going to preach the truth of the ascension, we've got to do it on a different day. And so this is the first year that I've done that. For 5 years, I had services on a Thursday evening. And this year, I finally took Dr. Robbie's advice and moved it to the Sunday after the sixth Sunday of Easter to accommodate. Today, we meet on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, to be strengthened in the faith of Christ. The ascension is no less a day in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus than Christmas, or the Epiphany, or Easter. It's part of the creed we say every week, perhaps even every day. The Christian church commemorates today that we might hear and learn about this event, that we might be strengthened in our faith. This is not just the commemoration of St. Umpty Squat. This is is the festival of the ascension of our Lord Jesus, and we celebrate this festival for the sake of our faith. It's one of the core teachings of our apostolic faith. This is not a new thing. This is a very old thing. The ascension of our Lord highlights the truth that Jesus has completed it all. He does it. As we confess in the Creed, He came down from heaven. He was made flesh. He was crucified for us. He suffered and was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand. All of this is the work of Christ for us. And while we might be more familiar with the other aspects of Christ's work for us, the ascension is just as much every part of the work of Christ for us. We are saved by Christ, and we are completed in faith because of His work of salvation for us. And we're here to grow in that faith. I'll admit, we Lutherans are kind of a strange bunch. We preach, teach, believe, and confess that we don't have to do anything to be saved at all? That Christ has done it all? And then we throw in extra church services. Which makes it look like we have to come to church more than other people. Whether it's to get on good side or to stay on God's good side. Hopefully, you know that's the farthest thing from the truth. We gather on days like this when they fall in the middle part of the week because Christ is there giving out His gifts, bolstering us, supporting us in faith. To say that Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father is profound for us when we are still suffering, when we are still in the midst of the pain of sin and the distress that it causes in our lives. Jesus has ascended, and that means we have a special kind of victory in Christ. A victory that can only come in Christ. I'm not completely oblivious, by the way. I know that it's also Mother's Day. And I think here's the tie-in for us, if we're going to tap into that. Mothers, do you not want the very best for your children? Parents. We'll go with parents too. Parents, do you not want the very best for your children? Do you not want them to experience everything, to be appreciative of everything that you've done for them, even though they'll never know half of it, right? It's the same thing with what we're doing in the church today. Christ has ascended before the right hand of the Father. And when we say that, the right hand of the Father is not some faraway place in the outer spiral arm of the next door galaxy. The right hand of the Father is not some specific geolocation or spatial location that can only be seen with the Hubble telescope or something. The right hand of the Father is a specific place where God does what needs to be done. Where Christ is active on our behalf. Where Christ does for us what needs to be done. Jesus took on human flesh. He doesn't shed that human flesh to ascend back into heaven. You now have your brother, Christ, at the right hand of the Father. What is He there doing? He is there reigning. He is there ruling. He is there ruling over all creation. But He is also there what? Interceding. Praying. For you. Like no one on earth could ever do for you. He is there because He knows your fears, He knows your sorrows, He knows your trials and temptations, and He is there for you. Jesus ascended to the throne of God, where He sits and He rules, and where He prays constantly for you. He who suffered the most heinous injustice. He knows what that feels like. He's at the right hand of the Father for you. And I said it's not a far away location. I think we've got this idea that when Jesus ascended into heaven, He went up like a space shuttle shot, right? Just whew, and then He gets smaller and smaller and smaller until boop, He's gone. But that's not what both accounts, what Luke and what Luke again in the book of Acts describes. It says He ascended, He went up, and then He was obscured. He was covered by a cloud. A cloud. You students of the Old Testament, you know wherever the cloud is, that's where the Lord is. He was obscured by the cloud. He's not so far away that He doesn't see you and know you and care for you and love you still. In fact, we might be able to say that He ascended about that high. About as high as the altar. Because that's where He is today. In His Word for you, where He says, "This is My body and this is My blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." There is Christ for you, knowing full well that if it weren't a Sunday, you wouldn't be here. That if it weren't Mother's Day, some of you wouldn't be here either. And yet, Christ still loves us. He even loves us who are smug in our hearts, who would try to convince ourselves that we haven't given up anything. He's for all of us who recognize our sin. Christ is here for us. And what does Paul say? Paul says He has put everything under His feet and has given Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. The normal way we come into this world is head first. Every mother here knows that. If Christ, our head, has ascended, how long will it be until the body also ascends? If the head has already come through, we know that the hardest part is already over. Christ has already brought victory over sin, victory over death, victory over even the power of the devil himself. The devil has no power over you. When you agree to sin, you agree to sin, not because the devil has made you do it. The devil has no more power over you because Christ has now ascended to the throne of glory, to the throne of power. You have no more. When we sin, we give in to sin. It's our fault. It's not because the devil has some strange power over us. Christ has given us victory in His ascension. These are profound, profound mysteries. But this is the meaning of the ascension of our Lord. Today is supposed to be one of those days where, having met on Thursday, we're sort of, now what do we do? The seventh Sunday of Easter is kind of, and we've done it this way the last couple of years, kind of, now what do we do? Because the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet on Pentecost. That's next week. And there's this sort of in-between state. What's going on? A church here does this very well. And yet, isn't that the state where we find ourselves most often? Still suffering? Still surrounded by sin? Still tempted to give into it? Still not truly feeling that we do have power over sin? Power over temptation? And yet the great truth The great truth is that Christ has ascended. He's given us victory over sin, victory over death, victory even over the power of the devil. We wait for the celebration of the glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit next week. And until then, may the Lord keep you and bless you. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.